Hello, everyone. This is the 40 is the End podcast, and I am your host, Kat Branch. This podcast is for the woman moving into the middle of life who may feel stuck, confused, and scared about what's next. My hope is that through sharing my experiences, that you will come to understand that it is never too late to curate the life that you want. Life is about change, so embrace it. Do something new. And remember that 40 isn't the end, it's simply the beginning. On today's episode, I am so excited to introduce to you a woman who has been in my life for 23 years, my best friend, who has become a sister, counselor, and iron sharpener, Nika Smith. We have been through it all, good, bad, or indifferent. And although we have gotten older, nothing has changed about our relationship but our ages. Nika has been through a major transformation over the past couple of years that would have broken most, but she has persevered and has truly become the woman that she was created to be. It's truly a blessing to have her in my life, and I have to have her on the podcast to share her story. So, Nika, thank you, thank you, thank you for agreeing to be on the show today.
Well, thank you for asking me. I'm excited about it. I cannot wait to kind of dig in and talk like we always do and, you know, go from there. So thank you for having me today, Kat.
Yay! So I was telling Nika that it's so funny. We talked a little bit before I hit record, and I was like, girl, I'm nervous. And she was like, why are you nervous? It's like, because it's different because we're recording our conversations. It's going to be a little bit more formal than what we're used to. So, and that's just with all of the formalities of, you know, starting and giving information. So now I hope that, you know, we'll relax a little bit and have a good time. And you guys will get a front row seat into our relationship a little bit today. So just to give a little bit of background, I met Nika at Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, Florida in 1995 in McGuinn Diamond Hall. So for those of you that are familiar with FAMU, you know that's where it was at. I knocked on her door because I was looking for her roommate. Nika, what did I say? This part of the story you tell me.
So, you came looking for my room. You knocked on the door, and I got up to answer it, and she says, hey, is I don't know if I should say the name, is your roommate here? I was like, nah, she's not here. And Kat says, well, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. So she just came in, and we just, like, the rest is history. I mean, like, literally, like, I don't know if you and my roommate ever hung out more after that or not. I don't even remember. But we definitely became fast friends and forever friends, too, without even realizing, I guess, at the time. So.
Yeah, that's true. And mm-hmm. One interesting thing to me, I feel like we were sisters without even knowing because we have so many similarities. Even mm-hmm. as it relates to mm-hmm. our family, our grandfathers were born, I think, my granddaddy was born on October 16th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my grand, I think, was the 13th. It's my grandfather's birthday, I think. I can't remember, but.
And then, you know, not that we're into astrology or anything, but we're both Aquarius. Her mm-hmm. birthday is January 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And mine is February 10th.
Yeah, that's right.
So I just feel like, I mean, it might not mean a lot to, you know, other people, but our grandparents were very instrumental in both of our lives. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they were born the same year, a couple of days apart, is mm-hmm. definitely, to me, divine.
Right, so, absolutely. And they passed away kind of around the same time, right, too?
Yes. Yes, yeah. They did. My granddaddy mm-hmm. died October, which is crazy. My grandfather died October 30th of 2006.
Mhm. Yeah, mine was earlier that year, like right after his birthday, so it might have been like, I don't know, the 20th or something like that, but it was earlier in October, so. But yeah, it was you know, some interesting synergy with that. But
that
so, yeah.
I forgot about that. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, remember? Yeah, yep, yep.
Wow. So, you know, our relationship has, 23 years. I mean, we were 19 when we met.
18.
18?
Yeah, we were 18. That was 94. We met in 1994.
Oh, so we met at the end. So we met at the end of 1994.
Yeah, when school and we graduated high school, separate high schools in June, July, and we met like the that first semester of college. So that was 94.
Okay. My bad. So
you don't even
I stand
know.
To be corrected because I said 95. I don't know why I always think it was later, but yep. Wow.
Yep, it was. But it was. It was.
That's amazing. 23 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, it's hard to have a friendship that lasts that long and to go through so many different things. But I'll definitely say with you and our relationship, I feel like another divine thing is that we kind of grow together.
Mm-hmm.
And God has definitely made a way that we always stay connected no matter distance or whatever. We've always been remain connected over that time. So I'll go ahead and jump right in and start asking some questions.
All right.
To start off, what memory do you have about turning 40?
Oh, man. What memory do I have about turning 40? So many. So many changes. I'm trying to think, what is the biggest memory? I had, because I think I tried to write them down, but I don't think I did a good job of remembering. I think that, you know, really my biggest memory was really just kind of from the transition that came about. You know what? But even before that, I feel like it was real, like feeling like the pressure was off. Right, like the pressure to do or be whatever it is the world or society, you know, said I was supposed to do or be by then, like, was off. Like, it was gone. And so I, you know, began coming to the realization that I didn't have to box myself in or to do, anything, you know, in a certain way or by a certain time frame, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So that was it. So I don't know if you meant that or if you meant, like, if something happened that made me feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm 40. I don't know. I have another one for that, but it has to do with my eyesight. But beyond that.
So what was it physically?
So this must have been last year. And, you know, so when I'm in the shower, you know, if you're washing your hair, like, I'll read the shampoo or the conditioner bottle. I don't know why. I just do it. And so usually I'll read it, no problem. You know, it has all these different, probably harmful chemicals in it. And so I read it and, like, oh, okay. Or how long should I leave this conditioner in or whatever. And so I remember the week before I read it, no problem. The next week I go and I'm washing my hair. I'm trying to read. It's like, I can't. What is wrong with, what happened to the shampoo bottle? You know, like, did it melt? What happened? You know, something happened in the bathroom that caused the letters to be, you know, for me not to be able to read them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out was that it was not the letters on the bottle. It was the fact that, you know, farsightedness? You can't see me because I can't, you know, see far away either, but we've always been that way. But that was definitely, you know, something that I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, so I bought some readers, which are really cute. You saw them. They're pink, people love them when they see me in them. So, you know, I still feel fancy, and I grew into them. But and the other thing is, I'm so loud. The other thing is, like, the light on any screen, like on a computer or my phone, I have to turn it all the way down. It is too bright.
Oh, wow.
It is, yeah. It's too bright. I have to turn it all the way down. Not that I can't see, you know, the screen, but the brightness is just, So my readers are the kind that, you know, with the blue light or whatever it is, it, you know, it filters that or something, so I have a problem with it. But, yeah, so that was like, wow, really? Like, this is a thing? Okay. So that was my other, thing.
I would agree. My first guest was Doreen, mm-hmm. and I know you listened to that, and she talked about, mm-hmm. I think she said that was one of her biggest things about it being physical and not being able to do a lot of the, you know, or experiencing aches maybe mm-hmm. that you never experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
But, what do you think has been one of the most significant transitions in your life?
Oh, man. Definitely, you know, at the turning 40 point, it really, for me, it was a lot of spiritual transformation. And I'll get into, you know, some of it, maybe not the whole thing, but like after I turned 40, it's just like my whole life like flipped upside down. And I couldn't fix it. You know, I couldn't do anything. And I tried, like just trying to make something happen or trying to do something that I, you know, when I finally realized, like, oh, I can't do anything about this. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I can't solve my problem. You know, and the biggest issue was this issue with my car, and, you know, my mechanic had, you know, done something I still don't even understand why, which really left me without a car. Or with a car that did not work and that I could not get access to because of how he had done some things. And so, you know, one of the things I learned in that is that you don't know who you are until you lose something, you know. You don't know what's going to come out of you until you begin to be stripped and isolated. You don't know that until that happens. And so, like, when that, you know, happened, and I could, you know, I'd done everything I was supposed to do. I paid him, I did this and that, and it would not, you know, happen. And so until it got to the day or to the point where I realized there is nothing I can do about that, like, that was such a freedom and release for me. Because then I began to allow God to show me who I was, mm-hmm. you know? So to hold a mirror up to, you know, who I was, and then to show me another path about, you know, this is, you know, but this is where you're going, you know, and this is the person I've called you to be. And so that was a struggle because, you know, before that I had a different identity in terms of, you know, the type of work I did. I was a counselor, you know, for a long time. I, you know, did a lot of training, written a couple of books, and so that was a certain identity that I'd had that I knew God had called me to. I knew I'd been called to that, but the other lesson I learned within that was that, you know, when God ends something, he ends it. You don't have a choice. And I think sometimes, you know, what I've noticed is that people, you know, a lot of people, especially, you know, people who say they, you know, who are believers, you know, in Christ, but the fact that they're always trying to go back and fix things, you know what I mean? Trying to go back and make, you know, go back to how it used to be. You know, if something happens, if that, like for me, I'm, again, my example, my car, like I want to get my car back, right? Of course, that's what we want to do. We're responsible. We want to get a car back so we can go to work and we can blah, blah, blah. But when God says, no, we're doing something else, like we don't hear him. You know, and so what I had to learn is, like, how to hear God's voice for my life. I don't know what God's voice is for your life, right? I don't know what that thing is. I know what it is for my life. And so once I began to strip away, or allow him rather to strip away the things that were unnecessary so I could get to the necessary, then life became easier, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of how to make decisions or what to do next. And the majority of the time, God don't really need you to do anything. And so I learned and am still learning how to be still. And because I, you know, have been such an independent person in just in word and in deed, right, you know, so what they may not know is that, like, I'm not married and I don't have children, right? I am the singlest person you will ever meet, right? And so with that come, and let me say this, because I didn't try to make myself that way. So when I was in kindergarten, so my grandmother raised me, which kind of alluded to earlier. And so the first day of kindergarten, like, I'm like, oh, I'm all about kindergarten, right? I got it. I don't need no help. I get in here and I do this thing. I already read the books. I know what's up. So when my grandmother tried to walk me into my kindergarten class the first time, I was like, no, you don't have to come. I'm good. I did not want her to walk me into kindergarten, mm-hmm. you know, so that, you know, so that was not just like I'm out here, you know, independent woman doing my own thing. It was, I'm 5 years old. So it was a personality thing. And so, but at the same time, that's a blessing and a curse, because the blessing in it is, you know, being able to, having the tenacity to do things, to make things happen, to take risks into whatever it is. The curse is that you don't allow God to do the things that he's trying to do in your life and the direction he goes and so he wants to go. And so for me, like, this period, this transition, like, that's what it was about, a big part of it, so that I could really do what he called me to do. So that's a long way of answering your one question. I apologize. But
No, absolutely. That's the best way to answer the question, because it has a lot of layers. It's not.
Yeah.
It's just not one specific thing. You know, it explains, mm-hmm. like you said, even going back to, you know, kindergarten. And
yeah.
This is who you are. And so,
yeah.
you know, he created you to be that way. However, he mm-hmm. still had to break that so that you could still remember
right.
that, you know, I'm still who I am and you still
yeah.
need me. And you're going to need other
right.
people.
Right. And that was the thing, too. And, you know, this, like, it's hard for me to meet people. Like, in order for me to ask for help, I don't do this now. I'm much better. Like, I need help. But I would work myself up for, like, 2 or 3 days to ask for help. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, it would take me. I might have needed the help, you know, a week before, but when I realized, like, oh, gosh, I need help, I would have to literally work myself up. I would be so anxious about that. And then when you ask the person, like, yeah, sure, no problem. Like, I really could have done this, like, 3 days ago. But because, you know, this, I don't know, personality trait, I don't know what it is, was, you know, you know, it you know, became a hindrance.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, you know, being able to ask for help for me has been like a breakthrough, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody else, you know, maybe easy, but for me, that's like a big breakthrough. And even if if someone says, no, I can't help you, I'm not able to do that, I'm like, okay, fine. You know, before I would be, like, devastated, like, oh, no, I asked this person, and they said no. And it's not because they don't want to or whatever it is, but because, like, you know, and God may have them to say no, right? So that you can maybe learn a different lesson in that. So, yeah.
That's good. And what resonates with me is that when you talked about how, you know, here you are, you want to get your car fixed, and everything
mm-hmm.
that you're trying to do to get that done,
mm-hmm.
either one, it wouldn't go through, or he wouldn't let you.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't feel like you were, basically, he was releasing you to do that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going, you're not going in that direction. And I feel the
right.
same way about myself and choosing to go through this process of, no, I'm not going to have weight loss surgery. I'm going to get into therapy, as she so graciously recommended that I do.
I love
it. And I was glad, and I'm very glad that I am going through that process, because it's great for, you know, it's great. I'm not saying anything against anyone that is or has had weight loss surgery. I think that it's an amazing tool.
Right.
But for me, that just wasn't my output. I thought I was going to do that, but it just would not. It made sense to do it, but I just didn't feel like God was, I just didn't feel, I couldn't put my finger on it, why I couldn't do it, you know. There was nothing keeping me from doing it, but it was like I had to go through what was wrong inside. He had to work on me and get those things out of me that would still keep me, because I could have had the surgery and had a different body, but still had the same mind.
That's good.
And
that's good.
That's what I'm learning in this process, is that, like, because the stuff that is in me that needs to come out, I'm letting it come out. I'm better. I'm better for that.
And, you know, I think, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, and I think people are afraid of that. I think, you know, we're afraid of letting the bad stuff come out. I think maybe you talked about this last week on your radio show, the other podcast with Doreen, about, you know, that fear of if I let this out, you know, if I, you know, show everyone, you know, who I really am, or show myself, forget everybody else, but if I really see myself who I really am, can I deal with that? You know? And there's this fear that really, once you do it, you realize, like, why was I even afraid of that? You know? Why was that? What was I afraid of? I remember when I had a client, one of my first counseling clients, and she wanted to talk about something that was something traumatic that had happened to her years ago. But she came in to see me week after week and would never talk about it. And we finally got to, and she said, if I do, I feel like I'm going to spontaneously combust, is what she said. And finally, after, I don't know, it had been a few months, like, she finally talked about it. She said it. And as she was leaving, I said, now, see, did you spontaneously combust? She says, no, I didn't. Like, I'm actually still walking around here as an actual human being. I have not lost my mind. You don't have to call the ambulance and get a straitjacket or anything, or get you committed. But it's just that fear of sometimes saying it out loud or looking at ourselves in the face for who we really are, the things that have happened. But, you know, again, one of the things, too, I've learned, it, you know, especially since turning 40, is that I'm not defined by any of those things. You know what I mean? Like, you're not defined by your weight. I'm not defined by my independence or whatever it is I have going on. We decide, well, God defines it, first of all. First and foremost,
wait a minute,
let me be clear. Right, hold up. But then we have to do something with that definition, right? We have to do something with that. And then in terms of the fear, like, there is no fear in love. You know, the Bible says, like, there is no fear in love. So when people, you know, we talk about being afraid, we have to go back to I'm not loving myself, you know, or I don't believe God loves me. There is something that is not love in that fear. You know, does that make sense? Yeah.
Absolutely. That's good. So what, through that process and as you went through your transformation, what do you, would there have been anything that you might have done differently
You know, I don't think so. I really don't. You know, I like who I am. You know?
Hey, that's big.
That's big. You know, because I think about, like, in my 20s, you know, we were in our 20s and just, gosh, oh, man, just some of this foolishness, you know? And I...
All right, now don't get into that.
I'm not. I'm just saying. The foolish thinking, ideas, thoughts. But, you know, the self-esteem, right? You know, the self-esteem not being where it should be. And how, you know, I just remember making just some decisions. Like, why did I even do that? You know, like, what was that about? And so I like myself. I love myself. I like where I am. I don't think in a transition I would have done anything different. Maybe, hopefully would have realized to stop fighting before, you know what I mean? Like, just, but you just don't know,
right.
You know, and that's what I realized. Like, you don't really realize what you're fighting against. There are some things that God says to fight, right? There are things that we are supposed to put on the full whole, you know, full armor of God. And then there are some things that we need to release, you know, and let go of. And then there are some things we need to sacrifice and surrender. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't, you know, again, really have any regrets about, you know, that time. And you know, of course, it was frustrating at times. You know, I had a meltdown with you. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, that happens, but that's a part of the process, you know. And the Bible says, you know, you will. No, the Bible says when you go through diverse temptation, not if, when. And so because, you know, we need to be, you know, prepared for when these things come, I'm a little bit more shored up. Now, that doesn't mean that something happens that I won't, you know, be disappointed or sad or anxious, you know, at times. But I have a better relationship with God and myself to know that I'm going to get through this. It's going to be all right. God has something new that he's trying to do. So it's going to be okay.
Good. What has been your greatest lesson out of this?
Oh, man, greatest lesson. You know, learning to depend on God for everything. Mm-hmm. Like, everything. Everything. When you, like, you don't really, like, you know, when you don't have your main source of income coming in, when you don't, you know, have really any transportation, I was going to say stable transportation, but any transportation, when, you know, I mean, that's it. Like, when you don't have that coming in on a consistent basis, and you're, you know, for me, like, again, I'm not married. I don't have a, you know, someone that supports me, you know, my mother and my dad, you know, definitely have helped me out, you know, in a lot of ways, but, you know, but not in like that, you know, I don't come from a rich background. My mom and dad are taking care of me, but I had to learn, like, again, they hold independence and like, who, you know, God was, she had to show me like, who are you dependent on? You know, like, you depend on me. So that was my greatest lesson. And so, like, I don't do anything, and that is my prayer, like, for the rest of my life, to not make any decision without God's input, mm-hmm. like, anything. It could be, you know, something is small as, you know, should I order Uber Eats today or not? And it seems really, you know, like that's, you know, like I'm being tongue-in-cheek, but I'm not. I mean, I literally ask God, like, should I do that or should I not? Because I don't know what's coming down the pipeline, or I don't know what I need, you know, what he has for me, or what do I need to spend that money elsewhere, or how do I be a better steward, or, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it is my prayer, like, you know, I don't want to do anything. And I often do nothing because I have not heard from him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is different for me. You know, we're so, I know you and I had a conversation, I don't know, maybe earlier this year about, you know, sometimes you just feel like you're just doing stuff. You're just, you know, just mm-hmm. doing things. And you have no purpose behind them, mm-hmm. no reason. You're just doing stuff to be doing it. And, you know, I think that comes from the fact that, you know, you are in relationship with God. You have no inner compass, guidance from the Holy Spirit or you know, what have you. Like, you don't have that. And when, you know, for me, when I find myself kind of drifting, I realize, like, oh, all right, let me get quiet so I can hear from God. So, you know, again, my greatest lesson has been to learn to depend on God for everything and being okay with that.
Mm-hmm. And that has been definitely an amazing example, because I know at times I felt like when you said you have, you know, broken down on the phone with me, you know, it also taught me to seek God, because when your friend is going through something and you, I can remember sometimes you saying, well, people are like, well, why don't you do this or why don't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I used to be thinking, ooh, I'm glad I used to think it, but I would never say it. So when you said people were actually saying it, because I'm like, look, I know my sister, and she don't need no help with that. So I'm just going to pray, and I'm not going to say nothing stupid. But it's so true. It's like, you know, but in my praying for you, I remember you saying, well, thank mm-hmm. you for praying, because mm-hmm. I didn't know what to say. And sometimes I would just be on the phone, and I would just listen, or I didn't mm-hmm. want to keep asking you the same thing, like, well, how you doing? Because I knew how you was doing. So a lot of times I'd just be calling you, telling you, I remember you saying, well, what's going on with you, and making you laugh about stuff that was going on in my life, because that's what you needed. You just mm-hmm. needed, like, a soundtrack to
mm-hmm.
somebody
mm-hmm.
else's life for a period.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and just something to take your mind off of, you know, what you were going mm-hmm. through. But I definitely now understand. Having watched you, now I understand my experience.
Mm.
You know, because I was in therapy on Friday, and mm-hmm. I said to my therapist, which I have yet to share on the podcast, so this is like the introduction to that. That
yay, therapy.
that, you know, I feel amazing.
Mm-hmm.
about, you know, my weight loss and about, mm-hmm. you know, how I'm feeling physically. I said, but I'm uncomfortable.
Mm.
I feel a lot of times I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable with, you know, how sometimes I don't feel happy or sad. I just feel right, like it's like nothing.
mm-hmm.
I don't feel mm-hmm. anything. Or mm-hmm. sometimes I'm feeling bad. Or sometimes, you know, and I have to learn to just be in it, because I have to be in it mm-hmm. without the food.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody else might be like, well, a lot of people are, you know, because, you know, I'm doing keto, and,
yeah.
you know, there are many different opinions about it. And but I will have to say is, you know, people say, well, why are you doing keto? Or why aren't you, you know, do you allow yourself to cheat? Or do you, well, no, mm-hmm. I can't. Because
right.
it's a part of that spiritual thing, too, where I've been this way for so long that if he has not, God has not released me to
that.
To cheat.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to cheat now, I, mm-hmm. I might, you know, I always watch the show My 600-Pound Life. If I were to cheat, you know, because you just never know, you know, and I want to be respectful of what he's given me
mm-hmm.
right now and how he has my mind set.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that it's a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're healing, you need to do everything possible to continue that healing. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just, you know, I don't want to go back. So the being uncomfortable part is just a part of this journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have food to rely on anymore. And it's so funny. I said the other day, I said, I have decided and made up my mind that I'm not going to, and well, God put it in my heart, that I'm not going to cheat, this year, because I said, oh, when Thanksgiving comes, I'm going to have some Thanksgiving. I'm going to have some dressing.
Not yet.
And then it was like, no, no, you're not.
Not so, in 2018.
I'm going to have some dressing. What I'm going to make it with cauliflower rice.
Okay.
Or probably some coconut flour. I'm gonna figure something out. But you know, it's going down. It's gonna be. It's going down over here. The Thanksgiving keto. Keto Thanksgiving.
Rather. Keto Thanksgiving on tap.
So y'all be getting ready.
Get ready. Get prepared. I think you know, but I mean, like that's you know, I think that's excellent. You know, like when you came to visit earlier this year. You know, like because I've you know lost some weight too and. You know, so we're both, you know, have changed our eating. I'm not on a particular diet. I think what I did was I just took from all the diets I did that I liked and just made my own eating plan. So that's what I have. Mm-hmm. And when you came, I think before I was like, you know, what are you eating? You know, what are you doing? And you're like, I'm staying on my plate. All right, cool. And so like that was it. And so, you know, I wanted to make sure I respected it. You know, what you were doing and you know, because you've done such an excellent job, man, like amazing, you know, job at you know, not just the losing weight because, like, you know how to lose weight, but just keeping your mind and spirit, you know, just feeling your feelings, you know. Acknowledging them, letting them be uncomfortable, letting them be whatever, anxious, what, like letting them be. And I think like that's the beautiful thing, even in the times when it's happening and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to freak out, you know, but that's just a part of the process, you know, because at some point, like that's not even going to happen, you know, or if it becomes less. So, I mean, kudos to you, man. You know, like this, when you, on the other side of this, you know, you're at a different side of it than, let's say, you were a year ago. Like, you're going to be, gosh, how you going to help other people, man? How you are doing it, definitely with this podcast, but even beyond that, it's just going to be amazing, I think.
Thank you. And thank you for your support. It has been amazing. So do you have any fears about getting older?
You know, I think about I don't know if it's a fear. I guess it is if I think about it sometimes, like who's gonna take care of me? Because I don't have children, you know. I have children, I have like nephews and like, you know, cousins and, you know, your son, my, you know, godson, but like they're not going to take care of me. Because I'm not around anybody enough to feel like, you know, and I don't think people, you know, I don't know. I notice certain people, like, that are similarly situated, like, they're really, like, they buy, you know, kids stuff. And I'm like, I hope you're not trying to buy them stuff so they can take care of you when you get home. Because it just seems kind of like, you don't even like kids. What are you doing? But, you know, who's to say that even if you do have children that they'll take care of you and get older? So I'll think about that. But other than that, like, you know, I mean, and I know God will have, you know, I'll be taken care of even then. So I'm not even, you know, I don't stress about it, but it definitely crosses my mind. So that's really the only thing. You know, maybe I'll get married and get some stepchildren that, you know, I can be really nice to. You know, who knows?
Yeah,
anything's possible.
That's right. Yeah. Anything's possible. To those who believe.
Amen, Jesus.
So if we move on a little bit to, I know, like, in this process, I have had to find other ways to make sure that I am, let me tell you, I have never been a person that is like about this self-care thing. And nowadays you hear so much about self-care and blah 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 and all of this. And it's so funny, today while I was in the kitchen cooking, I was excited about us doing the recording a podcast, and I was meal prepping for the week and excited about all of these different things that were coming to my mind about the podcast. And what I found is that, you know, I experience anxiety from time to time. And it could be due to something bad. And now I just realized today it can also be when I'm worked up and I'm excited. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for me to take a breath and really release, you know, because I can work myself up. And so I am definitely now more mindful of making sure that I take care of myself. And I know on my 10, I think it was my one of the weekly cliffhangers I did about my 10 non-negotiables. And I should have, now that I think about it, at some point I'm going to have 20 because I had to but I did have self-care in there, but it was like exercise, 10,000 steps. And making sure I hug and kiss my son and my husband every day because, you know, touch is a form of self-care. What would you say that, what do you do for self-care?
Oh, man. Let me say this first. So By training, I'm a therapist. I don't do that right now, currently. But by training, you know, I was a licensed professional counselor for about 10 years. And at the beginning, I used to go and do in-home counseling. And so, you know, I would be all over the place, just in my car, you know, out of my car, going to people's homes, you know, in and out. And so I started seeing my own therapist. And just to note, people, if you have a therapist that doesn't have a therapist, you need a new therapist, okay? Moving on. So I went to see my own therapist, and, you know, and I don't know what I was, who knows, lamenting or complaining about at the time. And she said, well, how do you take care of yourself? I said, oh, no, you know, watch something mindless on TV or something like that. She said, well, what do you do? And I had no idea. Like, I didn't have anything. She said, if you're going to do this work in the way that you're doing it, especially, you need to find some way to take care of yourself. Because watching TV is not it. You know, definitely now, you know, social media wasn't out then, but that kind of thing, like, that isn't it. And so one of the things I love to do is be outside in nature. I love, like, this morning I went out for a walk, and so I try to do about 5 miles. When I do, I don't do it every day, probably once a week, maybe twice. But just going out, and so even, like, I don't live, like, in, you know, in nature per se. I live, like, on a busy highway, but I still get out, you know, try to find a little quieter roads. So that's a great, you know, self-care for me. Journaling is definitely something I've always done. I've always written in a diary, on and off. My first diary, I was probably 10, you know, and I think I may even still have it somewhere, which who knows what's in it. But for years, and so I'll be on and off, but I'm, you know, that journaling, though, led me to writing and actually starting a blog, which we can talk about it another time. But that, you know, that is one way, you know, that I get out, brain dump stuff sometimes. Sometimes I'm just brain dumping. Sometimes I'm writing to God. Sometimes God is writing to me. You know, or sometimes I'm, you know, sharing, you know, whatever went on today, whatever I'm feeling. So that's a big one for me. And just, you know, definitely deep breathing is big, prayer, meditation. And then I started crocheting last year, so, or earlier this year. I crocheted my dog Perfecto a throw, I guess. It sounds so ridiculous that I'm saying it on the internet, but anyway. But I wanted to, you know, try something different, and I enjoyed it. It's a little hot right now to crochet, so I haven't done it. I'll probably pick it back up in the fall and, you know, make some scarves for y'all for Christmas. I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but I might.
But, well, if you need me to give you recommendations for color, let me know.
Yes, ma'am. I will go ahead and do that. But, yeah, so that's
go ahead. I like infinity scarves.
Yeah, I assumed so. I assumed. So I guess I'll be making an infinity scarf for Catherine. But that's my self-care. That's, you know, that's one of the things. I mean, I could go on, but, you know, on a regular kind of basis, those are the things that I, you know, that keep me sane, really.
Say that.
True.
Say that, because that is, oof, when you don't have it, you will flip on yourself and everybody else.
That's true. Somebody's going to get it. Somebody's going to get it.
So,
yes.
How do you start your day? I know that, and I get this, I get up at 4 a.m. because of this woman right here. So, what was it that you were reading that said about, what was it, something billionaire? Share that.
Oh, gosh, what was I reading? I don't remember.
What billionaires do?
Stuff, yeah, like billionaire, like their morning billionaire wake up or billionaires. I'm sure you could Google it or something. But, like, what they do when they get up, because Kat and I are going to be billionaires, just so you know.
Yeah.
One of us, at least. If you become a billionaire, I just want to be a millionaire. Or a thousandaire. I'm good with that. Anyway, so, but it was something like the billionaire wake up or something like that. And so, well, so what I have, you know, and so they do different things. What I do is, you know, I get up and I drink my glass of water that I have from the night before. Mm-hmm. I pray. I definitely, gosh, man, I just finished reading Intercessory, The Ministry of Intercessory, I think, by Andrew Murray. Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. But about intercessory prayer, which, and I actually sent my people on my email list, asked them if they needed prayer like a couple of days ago. And, man, ooh, how fulfilling it is, and just how, just to be able to pray. And I got a lot of responses, and to be able to pray for people, but that's another story. But I get up, I pray, meditate, which is just me being quiet with God. Sometimes I think we kind of go, we pray, say we got to say, we don't listen, or just be silent. So I definitely do that. Then I write. I read. I go back and I read. A chapter in the Bible. So right now I'm in Acts. So I'm reading, you know, just one chapter. And then I'll write something about, like, if something is illuminated, I just get a sticky note. I have these, like, kind of notebook pad-looking sticky notes, and I write on that. But if it's something I really am, like, it's really caught me, I'll journal it. I'll journal about it. And sometimes I'll come back at night and just journal about that, cause, you know, because it makes me think about it all day. And then I go, I take my dog out for his morning, you know, walk so he can do his business and see the world. And then that's it. I'm off to the rest of my day, go to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you do to challenge yourself on a weekly basis? I mean, I don't know, I'm going to say a daily basis, but, you know, just in general, what do you do to challenge yourself?
I feel like my whole life is a challenge. I feel like my whole life has been about that. I really do. I feel like I don't know, I have never, for some strange reason, wanted to do the easy thing or taken the easier route. You know what I mean? I mean, you know me a long time. Mm-hmm. You would probably say this, so you could really, you know, made that easier on yourself. Mm-hmm. But I've had to realize, like, who I am. You know, and so I tried different things to challenge myself. Be it, you know, we talk about habits. I think we're probably going to talk about that in a minute. But, you know, building, you know, like, again, that getting up early, I really actually had to do that because of a job I had, you know, and I had to get up. And, you know, in order for me to get there, it was a whole ordeal, but I had to do that. Now, I could have decided, like, you know what, that is entirely too hard. I am not doing that, you know, because of the time and the effort and the discipline that it took. And so, you know, I try to challenge myself, you know, just by trying different things. Definitely by listening to or reading things that are counter to who I am, you know what I mean, hearing a different perspective. because, you know, you know, I'll listen to, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you even know this, but I listen to, like, podcasts by, like, a lot of tech founders and for startups and that type of thing. Like, I mean, for years I've been listening to them. I don't even know why. And they have nothing to do with what I do, you know, or what I have done, rather, in the past. But that's challenging because they're speaking in a way and talking about things that I don't really have any experience in. But then I get ideas, you know. It makes me think about maybe something I'm working on or something I'm doing in a different way. So I always try to, you know, challenge my perspective, I think. Maybe that's one of my biggest challenges that I try to do, is challenge my own perspective, even with my friends, you know what I mean? Even with you or, you know, my other friend who you're going to have on the show. You know, even though we're similar, we think different, you know, so you might say something and I'd be saying to myself, I don't know about that. You know? But if I put myself in your shoes to challenge my own perspective, then I'll say, okay, you know what, that makes sense if I look at it that way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely, and being a therapist, that's something you have to do anyway, but it's different. When you're doing it for, you know, helping someone else than when you're having to challenge yourself in that way. So I definitely do that. I don't mind taking a risk, you know, at all, because it's not going to kill me. You know, I realize that because I'm not going to jump out of an airplane. You know, I might jump out of an airplane Monday, but I will have a life jacket. I realize that, you know, just kind of going through all things I've gone through, like, you know, I have God, you know, like, he protects me. You know, I may, you know, from here on out, you know, just making a few more calculated, you know, risks and seeking him on those things. But, you know, I think, again, that comes with the being comfortable and being okay with who I am. But, yeah, I think, again, go back to challenging my perspective. And sometimes that's hard to do, but it teaches me, you know, how to love others as they are, and, you know, and maybe serve them better because I do, you know, see them from a different perspective.
That's good. I have to pause really quick. And this is life. This is life. This is real life. Because my son is standing next to me as I'm trying to record a podcast because he's hungry.
Oh, my God. Oh, shoot. I think we're over time, though.
I don't care.
Oh, but, you're going to pause?
No, I'm saying I had to pause. We're still recording, but I said, Folks, this is real life. This is what having a 7-year-old over 40
will do.
Will do to you. Will do to your life. Anywho. but, yeah, I was agreeing with you before when you talked about that was good, because I had heard someone say, I was listening to a podcast and they were saying that, you know, challenge yourself by listening to stuff that you know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said that, I was like, yep, I heard that. I definitely did. Which is what amazed me about the book you recommended, because I called Nika, I think it was when I came up there to see you, I asked you, I had two books that I was going to read next, and I asked you which one I should read next, and you said, oh, yeah, you should read The Power of Habit. Read that next. And for folks that haven't heard of the book, it's called The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business, and it's by Charles Duhigg. I don't know if that's how
you... Yeah, that's him. Yeah, I think it's Duhigg.
And so you recommended that book to me, and let me tell you, I'll be doing a book review on that one next month. But, you know, we are both readers, and you've definitely made some awesome recommendations to me. And so that's why I thought it appropriate to ask you, what are your three favorite books and why?
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked. I'm actually not, because I'm like, I don't know, I love a million books.
I know, that's why I said it's going to be hard for her to think. Because I think, and then maybe if you're thinking about, you know, exactly what we're talking about. 40 is the end, and women mm-hmm. who may be, like I said before, stuck, confused, feeling like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, you know, what have I done
what did I do?
Up to mm-hmm. this point? You know, maybe basing the recommendation on that.
Okay, yeah. Well, this first book, I don't know if they want to run out and give this or not, but it's the first book I've loved and I gifted to all of the children in my life is Never Tease a Weasel, okay? It is a children's book, people, but it's a good book. It's a great book, you know, really, and this is a book I read when I was, you know, 5 or 6, 7 years old, you know, elementary school or something like that, and it really is about, like, being nice. And you know, never tease a weasel. Now I've said it twice. A weasel will not like it, and teasing isn't nice. But I'm going to move on.
But it's the truth, especially in the day and time that we're living in.
It's true. It's true. A book is that old. You know, I don't even know how old it is. I know, you know, I was reading it then, but it really is a great book to read to your kids, and just, you know, it will help you just in life too. The other book that I read every year, every single year, if not the whole book, parts of it, is Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. Mm-hmm. That I think I gifted that book to quite a few people. It just really, for me, just, you know, it really does, you know, show you how to experience God, you know, how to do this, not just this, you know, I'm doing everything the Bible says kind of thing, but it says, how do you experience God in that? Because a lot of times we can be Bible readers and we can study and we can go to church every Sunday, but we have no true experience with God. We don't hear God's voice. We don't, you know, we don't have a real relationship. You know, we do all the religious things, but we have no spiritual connection. And so this book really, you know, even if you just read one chapter of it once a month, you're going to find something in it that helps you do that. The second book is kind of in the same vein, and I just read this book last year in 2017, called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. And he really digs into that relationship with God. And like kind of how we have this great relationship with things, you know. You have a great relationship with our job and our money and our whatever, stuff, purses, whatever it is. But, you know, how do we, and we pursue life in a way to get those things, but we don't pursue God with the same passion. And and this book is written, like, I don't know, a long, long time ago, like a long, long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it still speaks true today. Mm. And that book, man, that's another one to put on your list, too. Forgot to mention that one. That's a really good book. So I would say those are my three, you know, three books. I read all kinds of stuff, you know, like I said, things that are antithetical to who I am. Like, I actually love reading things about, like, neuroscience and, you know, marketing psychology and stuff like that, like stuff that I generally would not recommend. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I will tell someone if I hear them talking about something, like, well, try this, because it does, you know, challenge my thinking and my perspective. So, and then too, another thing I think I mentioned to you is that I try to alternate the kinds of books I read, mm-hmm. Just so I can have a good balance. Like, I'll, you know, have a spiritual, you know, spiritually based book, you know, maybe do that this month or this time period, and then I'll do something more along the lines of, like, Power Habit, or, you know, something like that. And, you know, then I may do something fiction. You know, I haven't read any fiction in a minute, but I try to just kind of give my brain, you know, a little bit of a different kind, type of food, you know, to feed on. So
right.
Those are my recommendations, or my favorite books, rather.
Good, good. And so we're down to the wire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The next to the last question is, what are 5 things that you would do if money and time were not an issue?
Man, I don't have 5 things, but I have 2. One is travel. Like, man, and like travel with my friends or family, you know, like be able to like call my girlfriends and be like, listen, let's go to, you know, Morocco. Or can you go to Morocco right now? I don't even know. Let's go somewhere. Let's go to Jamaica. Let's go, you know, travel. You know, that's one of the big ones. And the second thing would be, and really the first thing would be to give. Like, I just want, and I believe God will bless me in a way that I can just give, you know, in a way to, you know, to serve and help, you know, people who that's just to surprise them, you know, like who aren't looking for anything, but here is a gift, you know, and because people, you know, and that's one of the things I learned going through this situation is that people did that for me. It blessed me, and I want to be able to do that on such a grand scale, man, just to do that. So those really are my big things, be able to travel and be at peace and to give.
Awesome. And finally, what I would like to do is for, as Nika said, she has been shared briefly about what she's doing now. It's like this is her next chapter. I remember you reached out to me, I know it was last year, and you asked me what was the first thing that came to mind. I can't remember what the question was. And I remember I told you, maybe when I say it, you'll recall what you asked me. And I know I told you teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even remember what the conversation was. But anyway.
I think that was the question, I think. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of me? You know, or something like that. Because I was reading, it was a book I was reading called The One Thing, which is another good book, another conversation we can have. But you need to read that too. Anyway.
I'm writing that down too. But yeah, so I really want people to know what you're doing now and where they can to share your blog and that information, because I definitely think that I know it's blessed me and it's blessing lots of people, and just share that information and what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we had to do another interview to get into that, but I did, you know, it's one of the things God led me to is to start writing and then, you know, to put that in a blog format. And so the name of the website, you can go to it either at nikasmith.com, and that is N as in Nancy, ECASMITH.com, or thegreatbiglife.com. That's really the name of the site, thegreatbiglife.com. You can find me, again, at website. I'm on Twitter at Nika Smith, so that's my name. I'm on Facebook at The Great Big Life, and I'm on Instagram at The Great Big Life, and I have a YouTube channel, The Great Big Life TV. So you can type that in, see a couple of videos, and then join my newsletter. I have a lot of different, of course, articles on the website, but then I have a free resource library, The Great Big Library. With all kinds of resources. You know, I have a 31-day prayer challenge for purpose. I talk a lot about purpose. And, you know, just kind of the things that I've experienced, but then, you know, other ways to help people. So different, you know, scripture printables and all kinds of stuff to kind of help us grow in life and in Christ as we do that. So.
Awesome. So definitely, people, check out her website. You will not be disappointed. It's definitely great to help you if you, whether you believe in Christ or not. It's very helpful, and if you would like to grow closer to God and to help to develop your relationship with Christ, she has amazing resources out there for you. So I just want to say, in closing, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for sharing all of your story. Well, not all of your story, but giving folks a little bit of a glimpse on becoming 40 and, you know, how you can just really evolve as a woman over 40, and that it's not the end, it's the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
If you're open.
Absolutely.
If you're open to something new, if you're open to change, if you're open to doing the work, you can definitely change your life. So thank you again for being on the show, and I want to thank everybody for listening today. Take care, and I'll see you next week.